Federal Reserve Board Chairman Alan Greenspan, was in full force. Levin told Eisner he was nervous that a big internet company was likely to try to take over either Time Warner or Disney or even both of them. Levin argued that stock valuations of old media companies like Time Warner and Disney were depressed, whereas the stock prices of dot-com companies were so high that they could buy almost anything using their stock as currency. Both Time Warner and Disney, he suggested, were in jeopardy. "We'd never do a deal using that currency," Eisner said, referring to the inflated stock of the dot-com companies. He added that Levin was crazy to even consider exchanging Time Warner's solid assets for the speculative frenzy of internet stock. Levin pointed out that he and Eisner might not have a choice if a dot-com company made a tender offer for stock and shareholders accepted it. "One of us is going to be taken over," he warned. "Mark my words." Eisner and Levin discussed the fact that one way to ward off such a possibility was for Disney and Time Warner to merge themselves, something that, unknown to Levin, Eisner had at least briefly considered at Bollenbach's urging. Just who raised this possibility is a subject of dispute. Eisner maintains that it was Levin's suggestion, Levin that it was Eisner's. They were the only ones in the room at the time. Neither, it seems, took the idea all that seriously, given that the delicate question of who would run the combined companies, Eisner or Levin, wasn't addressed. Still, the combination of Time Warner's cable system with Disney's cable channels and broadcast network made for an intriguing possibility. Given the magnitude of such a potential merger, Eisner nearly forgot to mention the impasse the two companies had reached over their cable negotiations. It was only as he was leaving that he brought up the ABC issue. "Jerry, I don't want to fight with you over this," Eisner said, sounding a conciliatory note. "I hate this deal, but I'm not going to stop it. Just get it done." He and Levin shook hands, and Levin took the handshake as a sign that they had an agreement to settle the dispute. But Levin's fear that an internet company might be stalking Time Warner or Disney stuck in Eisner's mind. The very idea angered him, and not least because, as an unreconstituted, old media executive, he would be superfluous in such a company. One Friday afternoon, he was talking to Peter Murphy when Murphy said he had to get to a meeting. "With?" Eisner asked. "The head of strategic planning for AOL," he said. Eisner practically exploded. "Get him out of here. He's a Trojan horse. Cancel the meeting. Get rid of him." Late that night, Eisner reached Steve Case, AOL's chairman. He was still furious. "Our company is not for sale," he said, "but if you're interested, call me directly. Do not send some emissary." Case started to argue with him, but Eisner insisted they had nothing to discuss. The conversation lasted less than 10 minutes. On Monday morning, Case called Eisner. "Have you calmed down?" he asked. "I thought you were going to have a heart attack." "Just go away," Eisner replied. "It's a good idea, you know, AOL and Disney," Case persisted. "Go away," Eisner yelled. Later in the year, as Eisner sat down to draft his annual letter to shareholders, he had the approaching millennium to consider, as well as the discouraging prospect.